name of the Lord Jesus. We welcome everyone fellowshipping with us online from Ilorin, from Abuja, from London. The Lord bless you. You are all welcome in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, the topic of my message today is what I call pruning. Pruning. One word. Pruning. P-R-U-N-I-N-G. Pruning. Actually, this message, I was supposed to preach it as part of the last series that we had on the, remind me now, the gardener, the hunter, the scavenger, and the gardener. You remember? This is one of the characteristics of a gardener. But you know, when the Lord began to open my eyes to this, I discovered that it is something that needs to stand alone. And we'll be dealing with this series over the next couple of weeks. So the topic is what? Pruning. 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 So we're going to be considering what pruning is all about. And let's see how far God will push us or help us today. Praise the Lord. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, I read verse 1, 2, and 8. John chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 8. And that's going to be our bearing scripture. Our bearing scripture. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. And let me read that verse 2 in the message. It says, he cut off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear even more. He said, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so that it will bear more, even more. Verse 8. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye may be my disciples. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that's going to be our anchor scripture for this series. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, when myself and my wife were planning to get married, and you know, we've been talking and planning, talking and planning, talking and planning, and all that and all that. Okay, she says she's going to tell you the story one day. Okay, but let me tell you this particular version. So finally, the day came, and I needed to go to Zaria to go and meet my father-in-law. Praise the Lord. So I said, okay, I'll come to Zaria. How do we get to your house? And then, and all that and all that. So I said, I'm coming to Zaria to see daddy. So that day came, and I had to go to Zaria. So I was in Zaria. I was in Zaria. So when I got to Zaria, we got to the house. You understand? I greeted daddy. He greeted me. And you know, daddy is very official. I hope he's not listening to me this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I greeted him, and I met him. He has is a horticulturist, so he has grapevines. He has grapevine, very beautiful grapevine. So I met him in the grapevine, and he was watering the grapes. So I went there, I prostrated, you know, like a good boy, you need to behave yourself. You know, when finally you, all of you start going now, I will need to start telling you, you know, how to win the heart of your... I think I will preach that series to our youth, right? Hallelujah, how to win the heart of your father-in-law. Maybe we should even do it as a series. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I met him in the garden, and I prostrated, and I greeted him, and he said, you are welcome, young man. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, sir. And then he said, if you don't mind, I'm watering. He gave me the watering hose. I said, well, wow. Praise the Lord. I said, there is trouble now. So I collected the watering hose, and, you know, we're watering. I was watering this thing alongside him. We're watering the vine, the grapes. And he said, do you know John chapter 15, verse 1? Hey. I said, do you know John chapter 15? I cracked my brain. I will tell you the scriptures to cry when you quit your father-in-law's place. Hallelujah. But may God help you when you get there. And he said, well, do you know now whom chapter 4? For Habakkuk chapter 3. He said, John chapter 15. Hey, I look up, I look down. John chapter 15, John chapter 15. I said, you know, you can't say you don't know. You can't say you know. When you don't know, you don't know. Hallelujah. So I said, okay, yeah, John chapter 15. He said, okay, what can you tell me about John chapter 15? I said, I just remember that it has to do with garden. I said, because we were in the garden. So you know your brain must be sharp. So I know that it has to do with garden because we were in the garden. So I said, hey, it has to do with the garden. He said, good, young man. I said, you, what did the Bible say in verse 2? I said, he said, okay, let me help you. Let me help you. I'm sure that you, maybe he has even forgotten this story now. So he said, okay, let me help you, young man. Okay. He said, the Bible talks about purging and pruning. He said, the Bible talks about purging and pruning. I said, okay. So what do you understand by pruning? Is why we came to marry. We didn't come to prune. We are not coming here to preach or prune anything. Hallelujah. So he said, what do you understand by pruning? So I just looked at it. I said, that's to do with cutting. He said, good. He said, follow me. So we went. So he started cutting certain things, you know. And once he cut, he will show me. He said, I'm trying to prune this particular branch. You can see this one has some fruits here. This one, he was just explaining. And you know everything he was telling me. There was looking like Greek. My mind was not even there. You understand? You are not even sure whether you are accepted or you are not accepted. So that's where my mind was. Praise the Lord. So he told me about pruning. So much later, I had to go and read. I went to study about pruning. Praise the Lord. So finally, when I started studying about the gardener, I now remember that story. And then I remember the concept of pruning. And that's why I'm bringing that story. Hallelujah. I won't tell you how the story ended, but at least my wife is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he spoke about, he told me about pruning. So now the question is, why do we need to prune? John chapter 15, Jesus Christ called himself the vine, and he calls God the gardener. And he said, now one of the things the gardener does is to prune, is to cut. So why do you need to prune a plant? And sometimes a plant that is fruiting, you still prune it. Why do you need to do that? And what has this got to do with our lives? And that's the angle at which we are going this morning. So today I'm going to be showing you the advantages of pruning. Then after showing you the advantages of pruning, I will now show you what you need to prune. Do you understand? So you need to follow me systematically. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. So what are the advantages of pruning? Why does a farmer need to prune a particular tree or a trunk or a plant or a branch? Why does the farmer do this? Number one, pruning improves the health of a plant. Pruning improves what? The health. And it sustains the health of a particular plant. Pruning sustains the health of a plant. Pruning sustains the health of a plant. It sustains it. How does it sustain it? When you are pruning, how does it sustain the health? It sustains the health by removing dead branches, diseased branches, pest infected branches, and dying branches. It removes it. So on a particular branch, when you notice that this particular branch is disease infected, you quickly cut it off. You quickly cut it off. There was a time there is this particular orange tree in my house at Loring. You know, my dad too was an agri person. You know, there was a particular time, there was a particular branch that fruited. There were a lot of fruits on that particular orange. Maybe some of you have drank our tangelo before. You understand? So I just discovered that my father cut that particular branch off. Despite the fact that it had so much orange on it. And I was wondering, why did you cut this particular branch off? Then he showed me the leaf. And then he said, this particular leaf has been eaten by a particular pest. He said, if I leave it there, it will infect the whole tree. So despite the fact that it was bringing out branches, he cut it off.
Why? To preserve the health of the whole tree. So that's one of the reasons why we need pruning. Hallelujah. There are diseases that have attached themselves to the life, to the spiritual life of many Christians. And those things need to be cut off. If they are not cut off, you are looking for trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying? So pruning is to maintain our health as a Christian. So as far as Jesus Christ said, you are a branch, you must be subjected to pruning. And that's number one reason why you are pruned. Why we are pruned. Do you understand me? Number two, pruning allows for new growth. It allows for new growth. It allows for new growth. Hallelujah. If you want a particular branch to bring out more branches so that it can shoot up, so that new leaves, new things can come out, then you need to prune it. You need to prune it. And then things that are new begin to emerge. New branch begin to emerge. New branches begin to come out of that particular place where you have pruned. Are you following me now? So if you need newness on every side, you need to be pruned. You know, this one is one of the things that are difficult. Many people pray, the Lord, do new things in my life. Do new things in my life. But do you know what? God will not start something new until He stops something old. And now the problem is this. Most of the time, when He needs to stop something so that new can come, we fight it. Because it's not easy. It's not easy. In fact, when you prune a particular plant, what happens? From the place where you cut it, what comes out of it? A liquid comes out of it. Why? The tree is crying. Why? Pruning is not easy. It's not comfortable on the body. So that's number two reason why pruning takes place. Number three, it enables shaping, molding, and directing in a particular direction. Directing the plant for growth in a particular direction. Shaping, molding. How many people have gone to a place before where they just finished trimming the flower and the flower looks beautiful? What do you feel like doing? Snap a picture there, right? Huh? But when the plant grows, this one grows to north, this one goes to Abuja, that one is pointing to Lagos. How does the tree look? Very unkempt. And if you enter that kind of a garden, what impression do you have about the people that are there? These ones are not taking care of this particular plant. They are not. And then you just saw another garden beside it. And then everything has been well kept. Every branch cut. You know the flower, there is a way the beauty comes out. And now, you prune to shape it, to bring out the original beauty of a particular branch. Then to mold it. And then to direct it, put it in a particular direction. How many people have seen flowers that they plant and then they cut out the name, maybe of a particular institution? How many people have seen that before? You have seen it. How did they get those shapes out? How were they able to use ordinary plants and flowers to write the name of their organization? Pruning. Pruning. Do you want the beauty of your life to come out? There is a place for pruning. There is a place for pruning. And until you subject yourself to that place of pruning, the beauty of your life cannot come out. You are a branch, we know. But you need to be molded. And you know, these are the things we fight with everything in us. And that's why many a times we end up like dwarfs and we are wondering, why is God not doing anything? Hallelujah. Number four. Pruning increases the yield or the quality of the fruits. It increases the yield or the quality of the fruits. My father-in-law told me, he said, when it is approaching fruiting time, when it is approaching fruiting time for the grape, what he does is that he prunes the branches. He already knows the branches that are going to bring out. So one of the things he does is he prunes them. So when you prune it, the concentration of the fruiting rest on the remaining ones. Rather than they will scatter and this one will look tiny, this one will look tiny, this one will look tiny. But when you prune, the remaining plants organize themselves and they come forth with power. And the fruits come out strong, better, good looking. So when you prune, you increase the quality of your results. You cannot increase the quality of your results when you are not pruned. Now that's critical.
Number what now? Number five. Pruning helps to tame the plant and avoid overcrowding. It helps to do what? To tame the plant and avoid overcrowding. Pruning helps to tame the plant and avoid overcrowding. Do you know there are so many plants? What do? You just see them with so much fruit. So much fruit. You understand? But all the fruits are looking tiny. Why? Because they are not pruned. But when you prune them, the interesting thing is this. After pruning, you will discover that sunlight can penetrate easier to every aspect of that particular plant. Sunlight will penetrate. And every branch that is left, you understand, will receive adequate supply of nutrition when pruning takes place. Number next. Pruning ensures the longevity of plants. Plants that undergo frequent pruning enjoy longer lives than those that do not. Hallelujah. They enjoy longer life than those that do not. They live longer. The more you prune them, the longer their life. The more you cut off the thing that can shorten their life, the longer they live. Are you following me? Can you see a picture of you this morning? And later when I start to mention the things that you need to cut off, then you will understand better. But do you understand what I'm saying now? So to extend the life of a plant, most of the time, if you see a particular plant that is dying and you leave it, you leave a particular branch that's already dry and you leave it, just watch it. It's just a matter of time. All the whole tree will dry off. But if you cut off that part that is already what? Dried. What happens? The remaining part, rather than taking after the character of the one that is dying, they take after the character of the trunk that is still alive. And they begin to be resuscitated. And they begin to live again. Are you following me? And then number seven now. Now this is the one everybody don't like. Everybody fights this particular one. Everybody fight it. Now what is that? Pruning doesn't just remove dead branches. It removes healthy and good looking branches as well. Pruning does what? It doesn't just remove dead branches. It removes good, healthy, good looking ones as well. Now that's the tricky part. That's the one you don't like. You know, I was asking my father-in-law, I said, but this one looks okay. He said it will cause problem later, so we need to cut it off. You know, you see it looking fresh and beautiful, yet it is cut off. You know, God doesn't really have a problem with removing things that are injurious, things that are dying, or things that are dead in our lives. What man really fights God for is what? The things that look good, the things that you enjoy. Hallelujah. You know, in our leaders meeting this morning, I was sharing with Mommy Law and my wife, and we were discussing, and I was telling them that I attended a seminar some weeks back, and the man that took us, Fela Drotoe, you know, he was just saying certain things and everybody was shouting, this man, are you okay? You understand? He said, October 4th or October 5th, 2015, was the last time he tasted rice. Do you understand? And coke and meat. You know, I was like, everybody was quiet. You know those kind of statement people make that you are wondering whether they are okay. You understand? He said he had to cut off those things because of his health. He said he had to cut them off. Hallelujah. But you know the problem is not is it that meat is bad? No. But for his own new level that he wants to step into, there are things he must stop to go there. And you know that's the problem of God with man. He said, I want to take you far, but this thing you can't stop it. You don't want to stop it. I can't help you. So we are holding on to things that unless we have the ability to open our hand and let them go, we cannot receive anyone. And that's the dangerous part about pruning. It is those things you love. It is those things you love that you don't want to release, that you don't want to let go. Those are the things that are constituting problems in our lives. It's the good things that we don't want to release. He said he met a man and they jog together, do so many things together, himself and that man, every morning. He said, but the man's tummy keep increasing every day. And the man said, but sir, you are looking trim. But it's like every day I jog, I grow fatter and fatter and fatter. What exactly is my problem? And he said, they began to talk and converse. Do you do this? He said, no. Do you do this? They talk and talk and talk. He said, for several minutes, they couldn't figure out what the problem is. They just wanted to conclude that, well, probably, you know, some people like that, when they are doing exercise and it's not good, they said, we have the tendency in our family to be fat. Do you know people like that? They said, well, our grandfather was fat. Our grandmother was obese. So, you know, all this exercise will not work for me. He said, so, but he now remember, he said, what do you eat? The man said, normal food though. The man mentioned, I said, those things are okay. Then, as they were just rounding up the discussion, the man said, well, except that in the night, every night, I take suya, little beer, and malt with my wife. That's how we relax every evening. Ah! Oh! He said, that's your problem, young man. Ah. He said, no, it can't be a problem. He said, that is the problem. Until you cut that off, you cannot have that new body that you are looking for. The man says, that will not be possible. He said, I can't even tell my wife. Ah. He said, oh, you can continue doing exercise. You know, it's not about the new thing you are starting. It's about the old ones that you need to stop. Hallelujah. Until you stop certain things that are old, a new one cannot emerge. I said, he spoke to the man and they left. The man didn't agree. And glory be to God. He said, they didn't see until after a month. He said, after a month, when he saw the man, he said, he gladly recognized the man. And the man said, sir, it's me. He said, so person. He said, yes. He said, what happened to you? The man said, nothing. Is it not you? He said, me, what did I do? He said, come, let me tell you my story. He said, what? He said, since that day, I got back home, I spoke to my wife, we discussed it, and then we decided to stop suya. Every night suya. And the beer. And the malt. Hallelujah. He said, look at the result. The man lost close to 20 pounds in 4 weeks. 4 weeks. He said, not only that. The man said, every week they discovered that they have a family account where they buy things from and all that. He said, at the end of the 4 weeks, they discovered that in the family account, they had about 160,000 naira excess. Where did this money come from? He began to ask the wife. The wife said, she don't know. All the things we needed to buy, have you bought them? She said, I bought them. Where is this money from? And they began to ask, and they realized that it is the money from the beer and the suya that is left. Can you imagine that? 100. You know, you will not know how certain things can emerge in your life until you stop certain things. Until you allow them to be pruned and cut off from your life. They're good things. They're beautiful things. And you know, everybody started asking, sir, so what do you eat? And he started giving us the options that he uses. But can you imagine that? So it is not about the new thing. It is not as if God can't give you new. But the problem of God is, he is fighting to prune something in your life and you are resisting. And as long as you keep resisting it, as long as you keep fighting it, the new one cannot emerge. Hallelujah. Some of those fruits, some of those vines that gives the farmer maybe 2 kg, for instance, of grape, you will now discover that after pruning, the next fruiting, the same plant will give you what? Maybe about 6 kg. But you are holding on to the 2 kg. Say, this thing last year, I remember this particular branch. It gave me 2 kg. Say, 2 kg. And you know, you even console yourself. Half bread is better than none. A bed at heart is worth 2 in the bush. Who told you? Hallelujah. You know, jokingly, I told somebody, I said, you don't say a bed, I don't believe that a bed at hand, what's two in the bush? I said, because inside the bush, there is elephants there. Inside the bush, there is what's there? Alligator is over there. There is lion. What else is inside the bush? Buffalo. There is even ostrich. So why do you want to kill yourself with a small bed at hand? God is saying, let me cut off that small bird so that you step into the jungle of life and you begin to have this incapacities that are beyond your imagination. But here you are, holding on to the old, fighting it, defending it.
you tell some people, this thing you are doing, you know, in Numbers, Moses' father-in-law, in Exodus, his father-in-law went to him. That's Jethro. And when he got there, Moses told him, he says, Daddy. You know, Jethro was his spiritual father too. He said, Daddy. And he said, what? He said, miracles have taken place in my ministry. And the man said, wow, to God be the glory. Tell me about it. And Moses began to talk. He said, there was a day we were coming. As they were pursuing us. We got to the Red Sea. The man said, what happened at the Red Sea? He said, wow. The Lord does say, as you stretch forth my rod, as I stretch forth the rod, the Red Sea parted. What? He said, what happened? He said, we passed through on dry ground. He said, that was the day we were hungry. I just shake my body. I shook my nose. And the man said, what happened? He said, I said, what happened? He said, God brought manna, angel's food from heaven. The man said, what? He said, yes. And he began. And he was saying, he said, we got to the river, the waters of Mara. Those waters were bitter. He said, so what did you do? He said, the Lord, I just shook my body. What happened? He said, so tell us. He said, I just went to a tree. The Holy Spirit just showed me. I just cut the tree. I put inside the water. The water became sweet. The man said, what? Those miracles have never happened in the ministry of Jethro, the father in the Lord. Hey, he said, Moses, you have done well. He said, can you make sacrifice for us? And the man did sacrifice. They did offering and everybody ate. Everybody was excited. But the man now told Moses, hey, Moses, hallelujah. Moses said, sir. He said, Moses. The man said, what is it, sir? He said, you are lean. He said, I'm not lean. He said, I'm not lean. No. The man said, you are dying. Something is wrong with you. He said, there is nothing. The man said, okay, no problem. So the following morning, the man woke up. So where are you going? Moses said, I'm going to the office. He followed Moses to the office. And he sat down. And the Bible says, from morning till night. Moses did not stand up. He was settling quarrel. Every day, he was settling quarrel. Every day. From morning till night. So the man didn't say anything. So when they got home, he said, Moses, this thing that you do, that's exactly the way the Bible recorded it. It's not good. You will die. He said, you know, Moses was like, why are you telling me? What kind of nonsense is that? Why will you tell me that I will die? Why are you saying? The man said, you know, I told you yesterday that you are going lean. Something is wrong with you. He said, is that the way you run your ministry every day? Morning till night, you don't rest. Moses said, sir, that is the work of ministry. That's why the anointing uses me. They said, that anointing that uses you will kill you. Moses, why are you talking like this? Moses was angry. And finally, the following day, they quickly packed the man's load before the man caused more problem. And they sent the man away. Hallelujah. So for you to know that Moses did not agree, Moses now went to God. He said, Father, I have come. That man, that your priest came and wanted to cause problem in my ministry. The man said, what happened? He said, he told me that the way I'm judging your people is not good. And God said, Moses, so you don't know. You understand? The anointing belongs to God. Ministry belongs to man. Hey, Bishop Oyedepo said, God gave man a brain so that he can allow him to rest. God decided to rest on the seventh day so that you can use your brain to continue. But now, here you are. You are still going on. And God said, listen to your father-in-law, my friend. Listen to him. Moses was gentle. Say, yeah, we didn't even give the man on the radio. Can you imagine? They didn't give him on the radio. They just sent the man away because they were angry. And Moses said, God said, listen to him. And he said, go and choose you leaders. Choose leaders above thousands, leaders above 100, leaders above 70s. Choose 70 elders. And God said, I will take my spirit and place upon them, and they will operate in the same capacity as you. And ministry began to expand. It's not as if God didn't want to expand the ministry of Moses. But Moses was holding on to certain things that he didn't allow his ministry and his destiny to grow. What are you holding on to? You know it. God has been fighting it. God said, let me cut this thing off. Let me prune it. You said, no. Let me prune it so that a new one can grow. He said, this one is good. You know, that was the problem of the children of Israel. All through the wilderness. Anytime they encounter problems, God told them, I am taking you to a land that has milk and honey. He said, so let me prune all this rubbish away from your life so that you can arrive there in one piece. They said, no. We want to go back to Egypt. where we eat garlic. Is garlic food? My destiny, in the name of the Lord Jesus, open your mouth as you begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit my branches to pruning.